I invite you to get your Bibles this morning if you will open to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. If you need a Bible, there's one on the side table. Encourage one to get one to study with us. Mark chapter 4. And I'll draw your attention down to verse 35. And the same day, when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? May we begin prayer. Father in heaven, as we begin to approach thy throne of grace this morning, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we thank you so much for being you, for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary, paying our sin debt. But Lord, not only did he pay our sin debt, he arose from the grave, sits at your right hand. And Lord, we know that you are in charge of all things in this world. Lord, I pray that as your Spirit moves among us this morning, I pray if there's one in our midst who's never trusted in your Son Jesus as Savior, that Lord, they would become very convicted, have the understanding of that need, and turn in repentance and trust and faith in your Son Jesus. Lord, maybe there's other decisions that need to be made here this day. As your Spirit moves us, guides us in your Word, I pray, dear Lord, that we'll be obedient to follow. Guide and direct my words, for it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. You ever been faced with a situation in your life which resulted in your faith in God being severely tested? Perhaps you might have lost a job. Perhaps you or a loved one was diagnosed with some terminal disease. Perhaps you lost a loved one by some means, a car accident or something of that nature. Perhaps it was something else, but again, have you ever been faced with a situation or life which resulted in your faith in God being severely tested? If so, how did you fare? How did you to do with that testing? Did your faith hold up? Was your faith in God strong enough to sustain you and to carry you through your trial? You know, now some might say this morning, well, Pastor, I must confess that I didn't fare well at all. My faith did not hold up. My faith was not strong enough to sustain me and carry me through my trial. Pastor, I just blew it. And I have to say, if we were to go around the room and if I were to ask you that, we'd probably all have fallen into that category that my faith just didn't hold up when I thought it was. So we don't need to feel bad because, again, you're not alone. And as we just read in this passage here in Mark chapter 4, even our Lord's own disciples that had been with Him for a period of time, they didn't fare well either in a situation that came up for them. So this morning we're going to examine this text, and we're going to ask ourselves, why are ye so fearful? And I want to call your attention to at least three things from this text this morning, and we're going to start first of all by looking at the storm. So in the beginning of this chapter, if you turn back to verse 1, in verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so they entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was in the sea on the land. So in order for him to be able to teach, he stepped into a little boat, if you will, a little ship, and he pushed off and he taught from there. In fact, if you read throughout chapter 4, you will find that he was teaching all day long, teaching about parables. He was using parables. He was explaining the parables, especially of the sower. He was explaining about putting a light under a bushel, a parable of the growth of the seed, if you will, a parable of a mustard seed. So he had spent his day teaching about the ways of God, about the kingdom of heaven, about His church and things of this nature. And then in verse 36, as we read, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship, meaning this has come to the end of the day, and He's still in that ship that He had started out in, teaching from, and they took Him in the ship so that He could what? So that He could go to the other side of the sea, of the Sea of Galilee, so that He could have a time of rest, if you will. So He was tired from the activities of this day. And this is the way that the Lord was day in and day out when He was here. He would do a lot of teaching. There were times He was healing people. And then there were times He needed to get alone. He needed to have some respite time to get away. But we find here also in verse 36 is that as they started to go forth on this other side of the sea, if you will, that there were also with Him other little ships. So I have to believe that some of these little ships or little boats that were traveling with Him, they were probably some of the multitude that had their own boats. And when He started to go to the other side, and it was often a custom, you read other passages of Scriptures, is that oftentimes the Lord would go from one side of the water to the other, and people would run around the shoreline trying to get over to where He's going to be landing. Here, some of them got into these little boats. They pushed off with Him, and so they were kind of caravanning over to the other side of the sea. And notice in verse 37, And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. So, I want to note a few things about this storm. First of all, the storm was sure. This storm came up. Now, they had not seen or expected to have going out in the evening time to go across the sea. They did not expect to have a storm to come up as it did. But it was driven with a great wind, and if one of the things that we need to understand about storms, they come up quickly, very quickly, without notice. Without notice they'll come up, and unexpectedly, but most assuredly, they're going to come in our lives. And one of the things to understand about storms, and we're going to use this storm, if you will, is that not only are we using the storm as a real storm that happens, but also as a metaphor for storms that come into our lives spiritually. All of us are going to deal with sure storms. You are going to have storms in your life. I'm going to have storms in my life. Storms were common on the Sea of Galilee. If you go and do some research about the Sea of Galilee, it's an unusual body of water. It is relatively small, 13 miles long, 7 miles wide, but it's 150 feet deep. And the shoreline is 680 feet below sea level. Because it's below sea level and surrounded by mountains, it is susceptible to sudden storms. Winds that sweep across the land, they come up over the mountains, they create downdrafts across the lake, and combined with a thunderstorm that appears suddenly over the surrounding mountains, the water stirs into violent and can be up to 20-foot swells. So the point is that you can have storms on the Sea of Galilee, but usually they're during the day. They're usually not in the evening time. Now, these disciples did not set out foolishly out into a storm. Again, and one of the reasons why they went probably in the evening was because that's usually when you have calm water in the evening time. And even though several of these men that were with Jesus, they were expert fishermen, they knew how to handle a boat, they got caught without warning of this fierce storm that quickly came up. So their peril was real as they battled these huge waves that nearly swamped their vessel. And you know, the same thing is true in our lives today. Storms are sure to come. And I'm not talking about literal ones. I'm talking about spiritual storms. That often at times they arise in our lives, and for this reason, to test our faith. The Lord brings storms into our lives as a way of testing, a way of proving us, of showing us who we are, not only showing us to ourselves who we are, but helping us to see who we are in Christ and helping us to become more dependent upon Him. And so the storms should be expected. You know, there we may look and say is that, well, you know, I've never had a storm in my life. I'm a child of God. I never had a storm. Well, you're very blessed if you've never had a storm. But I will tell you that one day you will. You will have a storm. One of the things that we find in John chapter 16 and verse 33, it says, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And that is exactly what the Lord wants us to look at. And when we look at the storms that come into our lives, are we dependent upon Him? Is our resolve within Him? But I know that some may say, "Pastor, I've been a Christian for some time, and I've just had smooth sailing." Smooth sailing. Well, again, I'm going to say, don't expect it to last forever. Now, I'm not going to try to paint. My goal this morning is not to try to paint a dismal outlook on the Christian life. That's not what I'm trying to paint. What I'm trying to help us to understand this morning, that there are going to be storms that are going to come into our lives. The question is, how do we deal with those storms? Even when we're having to bail water, even when we think our ship is sinking all around about us, what are we going to do to overcome, especially when we know that storms are sure? They are going to come into our lives. The second thing we find about this storm, it was swift. In other words, it came up suddenly without warning. And that's oftentimes what happens in our lives. Our storms come up very swift. We don't have any, we can't see. There were no storm clouds. They just came up. They just formed. And so we find here is that as these sailors, as they, you know, they took Jesus on the other, they were taking Him on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, they set sail. Again, there was no indication a storm was brewing on the horizon. And when the storm came, they were caught completely off guard. And I think about this is that how many times have you picked up a phone and you looked at who was calling and you think that it's going to be just a wonderful conversation you're going to have, and you find out within 5 minutes that the world is falling apart at the other end of that phone that now you're sucked into. You're pulled into. It's a storm that has brewed. And we find that is the things that come. They come very swiftly. And the thing is that we find again is that without warning they come. And I'm sure that every one of us have understood, have felt the effects of the storm, that when they come, they're swift. The question is, what do we do with them? What do we do when those storms come in our life? This storm that came up was also very severe. There are times that we have issues that come up. I'll call it those little rain clouds that come up. They're irritants. But there are times that the dark clouds come, and they're severe. They come up and in this particular storm that these disciples were caught up in, the severity can be seen that the ship was taking on water. It was in danger of sinking. And there are times that we have situations that come into our lives. And as I mentioned in the opening, sometimes those situations is that you get told you've got some type of terminal disease. That's a storm you were not expecting. That's a storm that comes up in your life. You lose a job. That's a storm you were not expecting. There have been many people that have walked into their employer one day. They've been working there for many years. And all of a sudden they say, "You know what? You've been tapped. We have to reduce forces. And therefore, here's your walking papers. And turn in your stuff very quickly because we want to get you out the door. We don't want you to create any havoc here. We're going to make sure you get out the door very quickly." And that's what companies are doing. That's a storm that comes into our lives. You have the loss of a loved one that comes up that was not expected, and is that, boy, I expected them to be able to live for many years. That they were taken in the early prime of their life. How in the world could that have happened to us? And sometimes these things come into our life, and they're just severe. And then we also sometimes, we may have a Job moment in our lives. You say, "What's a Job moment?" Well, the Lord may say, "Have you considered my servant?" And put your name there. Because the hedge of protection has been pulled down around us, because the Lord knows our heart, but the Lord wants to prove us, test us. He wants to make us stronger in Him, in our faith and in our resolve. And those storms, whether it be physically, whether it be emotionally, whether it be mentally, whether it be spiritually, those things come into our life without notice. They're swift, they're sure, and they are severe. And sometimes we cry out just as these disciples did in verse 38. "Master, carest not that we perish? Carest not that we perish?" And that's often our response. Now these fishermen, these people who were in these boats, they actually believed they were going to die. Because this storm was so severe, they thought they were going to die. All they could do is bail. And they couldn't bail fast enough, because the Scripture says, as we were reading it, it says here that they were also verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. So it was taking on so much water, they couldn't bail out fast enough. Very severe. And I will tell you is that oftentimes that's true of storms that come into our lives. They're very severe in nature. They appear even when we're on a short journey in our lives. You know, James tells us this. James tells us in chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, you say that today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And I bring this passage, if you will, is that oftentimes we make long-term plans. Now those long-term plans may be for a year, they may be for 5 years, and the minute we think we're going to start executing those plans, what ends up happening? We may get into that first year, and then the second year things fall apart. What do we do? What do we do? Where do we go? I have to believe that when Naomi and her husband and her sons went into the land of Moab, I have to believe they thought that because they left Israel because of the famine. I have to believe they looked at a place that was going to be a place where they could live, they could maybe make some money. They had no idea that what was going to happen is that a storm was going to climb very quickly. And when it came, is that we find is that Naomi's what? Husband got, he died. Then her two sons died. And what was she left with? She was left with her two daughter-in-laws. That's what she was left with. The storms came. And then she ended up going back into Israel. But my point is that sometimes we set out on journeys, we have plans made, we have our goals, we have our objectives, and then we find out is that they don't go so well at times because the storm comes up in our lives. This storm was very severe. And again, because of the severity of the storm, is that their faith was going to be tested. And I know that there's many of you that are here this morning who have experienced at least one of these kinds of storms in your life. And you're probably going to experience it again in your life as well. If you've never had any of these types of storms, then I will tell you is that you will have one. Understand you're going to have one before the Lord calls you home. So what do we learn about this storm? First of all, it was sure, it was swift, and it was severe. But even so, we're to experience storms in our lives today. We are to expect those storms to come into our lives. They will be swift, they will be severe. But what are we going to do when they do come in our lives? Let's take a moment and look at the sailors. All right, so we know that Jesus has gotten into this little boat. He's gotten into this ship, if you will, fishing ship. He'd launched out. What about the sailors? Well, the sailors, they were the disciples. They were in the boat with Jesus. But how did they fare in the midst of this storm? When the ship began to pitch back and forth, take on water, how well did their faith hold up? I'll tell you is that if you've ever been into a boat, if you will, that gets out on some high waves, it can really affect you mentally, emotionally, because I'll tell you is that one of the greatest fears I would have is drowning. Drowning, all right? I've almost drowned a couple of times. So I love being secure. Now, I love water. I love being in water. But I love being secure. Several years ago, we were, our family went down to the Florida Keys. We were doing some snorkeling. And when we got out the boat, we went on to go to do snorkeling around this reef. We were told, well, there's 2 to 4 feet of waves. I didn't know what 2 to 4 feet means. I mean, what is that? I learned the hard way. You don't want to go out less than, if it's more than 1 or 2 feet, if you really want to go snorkeling. So we got out there. We got to the place where we were going to go snorkeling on this reef. And one of the things that we were told, because once we got there, now the boat stops. As long as we were moving, we didn't have an issue. But in 2 to 4 foot waves, the captain of the ship, or this boat, if you will, told us, if you don't get in the water, you're going to get sick. Well, we found out very quickly, as soon as we stopped, that boat just started weaving back and forth, back and forth. And about that time, he started looking around, and all of our shipmates were all getting green in the gills. He says, get in the water. And it was true. You got in the water. And your body acclimated to the waves. It was not an issue. And so we got out there, we got in, and we all had life vests on. But one of the things that as we were still in the waves, and we were bobbing around in those waves, my wife was having an issue with taking on water. So I was trying to help her, and my daughter came up behind me, and she was having trouble, and all of a sudden I felt myself sinking. Even though we all had life jackets on, so I myself thought I was going to drown there for a moment. I was like, get away from me for a minute. Let me get myself straightened out here, all right? My point is that sometimes we get into those situations and we feel like we're going to drown. And sometimes we just don't think we have enough control to take care of it. These men were experienced in handling boats. They were fishermen. Peter, James, and John, that was their trade. They understood what to do when they got out on the water. But I will tell you is that they were the ones that were also saying here, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, where was Jesus when they came to see him to ask him that question? He was sleeping. He was down in the hinder part of the boat. He was in an area that was dry. And you have to look at this is that, and sometimes we forget about this, the fact is that Jesus was 100% man. He was tired. He had been teaching all day. He had been doing all the things he had been doing as part of being the master, if you will, the master teacher. And he was tired. He needed some rest. So he was, you know, and there's times I'll tell you, even though a storm is going on outside your house, that's some of the best sleeping weather. So even though that the storm was beating down, what was he doing? Sleeping. He was getting the necessary rest that he needed to have. That was, even though that this boat was violently rocking back and forth, I would imagine that they were all screaming and they were shouting, take the sails down, do what you have to do to try to keep this boat from sinking, if you will. But I find some things about the sailors. First of all, they were courageless. They were overwhelmed with fear. And you can sense the fear when they cried out to Jesus, Master, we perish! That was something I believe they came and they were screaming to get him awake. Now, I have to believe they had no idea what he could do or not do. It's just that I look at it as that, don't you care that we perish? Why aren't you helping us to bail? That is what they were looking at. Why aren't you out here helping us? Why don't you have the same sense of despair that we have? Why aren't you out, all hands on deck? Although these disciples had witnessed many miracles, they were panicked in the storm. And I truly believe that what this started to reveal, that they truly misunderstood their teacher, that even though that they had seen Jesus perform great miracles of passion, they ended up asking him, is that, do you not care about us? They had seen him have all kinds of compassion on all these other people. And the closest ones to him, they were asking, do you not care about us? Is there anything you can do? You can help bail. You can bring comfort to knowing that you're in this with us. But you know, when you study the Scriptures, let's not forget that over and over God's Word admonishes us to be not afraid. Be of good courage. Think about when Moses was preparing Israel for their conquest of the Promised Land. Here's what he said, what he told them in Deuteronomy 31 and 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Another example, when God commissioned Joshua to take over the reins of the leadership for Moses, He was told by God, Joshua 1:9, Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. How about when King David was commissioning Solomon to build a temple? He told him in 1 Chronicles 28:20, and David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the Lord, the house of the Lord. And so over and over again, you find in Scripture that God's Word admonishes us, be not afraid, be of strong courage. But what ends up happening, though, when the storm comes in our lives? We throw all that out to the wind instead of being strong. The Lord is in charge. He will take care of us, irrespective of what the storm is. You know, one of the things that I also find it's important for us to understand is that there are those who are seeking to be saved because, you know, they're drowning. And I'm talking about individuals that have never trusted in Christ as their Savior. Whether you know it or not, you're drowning. You're drowning in your despair. You're drowning in a hopeless situation because you have no hope apart from Jesus Christ. What we find is that you can have all the hope. You can have all the joy, the life, the comfort. You can have courage, if you will, if you trust in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things we trust in, but until you trust in Christ, there is no hope for you. There is, all you have is a drowning, if you will, in your life. You'll never get your boat bailed out because you do not have the one person who can save you. And in fact, we find in Acts 4:12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 5:24 tells us, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. But again, somebody might say, but wait a minute, Pastor, that's easier said than done. And I'll be the first to admit it. Easier said than done. How can we be courageous when we are in the midst of a storm? Well, the problem is that these men were courageless, and they were also, we're going to find, that they were answerless. They were courageless and they were answerless. In other words, they didn't know what to do. They didn't have the answers to their dilemma. Now, you might say that they were at their wit's end, and that's oftentimes when we are in a storm, that's where we get to, at our wit's end. You know why we get at our wit's end? It's because we fail to turn to the one that can give us the answers. We fail to open up God's Word. We fail to get on our knees in prayer. In fact, here's what's often what ends up happening. We'll get on our knees and say, Lord, let this storm pass. But when He might be saying, no, I want to bring you through the storm. I want to bring you through it. I want you to see that I'm really there with you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I will walk with you every step of the way. But what are we often doing is that we're at our wit's end because He hasn't removed the storm. We're praying the wrong prayer. Lord, what do you want me to learn from this storm? These men should have been asking, what are we to learn from this storm? What should we be learning? They had no answers. And I'll tell you, we've all been there one time or another in our lives. When we don't know what to do, what do? We turn back to our self-sufficient, I will get through this somehow. God, you must have abandoned me. I'm just in this alone. I'm drowning. I'm sinking. My ship's going down. I have no answer. Why did they have no answer? Because they were faithless. So they were courageless, they were answerless, and they were faithless. Now I'm not saying they were totally without faith. That's not what I'm saying. But it's evident by the way they responded to the storm that their faith was greatly lacking. That's why when Jesus was awoken, Jesus went there to still the storm. Verse 40 it says, He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? How is it you have no faith? And I'll tell you is that I believe that their words that they were what they were saying to Jesus were really more of a criticism than a call for help. And how many times? And the reason I say that is that how many times do we get in a situation and we blame God for the situation? when the Scripture says that He will bring us into trials? Didn't James say that we ought to be thankful that we what? Have divers or manifold trials in our lives? Aren't we to be thankful that God has... And think about this. I am sure that Job did not get up. I'm going to go back to Job for just a minute. Job did not get up and say, Lord, I'm just ready, let me have it. That's not what he asked about. In fact, he had no idea of the parlaying that was going on between Satan and God. He had no idea. He was doing everything, in fact, with his own kids. He had taught them about what it meant to sacrifice and what it meant to pray to God, about keeping their lives clean, about keeping their lives pure before the Lord. He had taught them, and by the way, if they offered their own sacrifices, is that he made sure he offered one for them also, just to make sure that they were covered, if you will, in being right before God. That's how much he cared for them. That's how much he loved them. He loved his wife and his household. I have to believe he loved his servants. He loved those that worked for him. They were all, and he cared for that what God had given him. He blessed God, thanked God for all that God had enriched him with. He was not rich because of his service. I believe he was rich because he could handle it. Now you think about that one for a minute. God had blessed him in such a way that he was using what he had to serve God. His heart was right with God. And Satan shows up before God and says, and God says, but have you considered my servant Job? You see, oftentimes we enter into storms when God says, have you considered my servant? And put your name there. That's when He is going to try us. He is going to test us. The testing is not to see us fail, because I'm a firm believer of this. God, the Scriptures teach us, He will never give you something that you can't bear. Now, it may be heavy to bear, but He will never give you something that you can't handle. You may cry out and think that I can't handle this, but where is your faith? If He's bringing you through this. Now, I will tell you that I always look at times that have come into my life that it looks like my world is falling around down around about me. And I've got two questions that I need to ask the Lord. First of all, Lord, am I in a predicament, a consequence of something I did that I shouldn't have done? Did I sin against you? And you're letting my sin run its course. In other words, the consequences of my sin, I'm bearing it. If it is, as David said, Lord, if I've got iniquity in my heart, expose it so we can get things straightened out with you. And I find in those situations that if I follow what it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't blame Him. You got your situation because it's your issue. Now, you can ask Him, Lord, I'm sorry I got in this situation. I did things that were not in keeping with your will and your direction, your guidance. Please help me to get out of it. Please help me to get out of it. And I'll learn not to do it again. So let's set that aside and say, if that's not the situation that you're in, now we have the trial situation. The trial situation comes into our life, and the Lord opens that door for that storm that came up. You were not expecting it. But again, if you're... when your faith in Him, He knows what you can handle. He is not going to bring you into something you can't handle. And so what He says and what He shows you, I will be there with you. Be not afraid, be of good courage. I will walk with you. I will never forsake you. I will never fail you. I will be with you. The question is, are you with Him? Or do we walk in to Him and before Him and we say unto Him, just as these sailors did, Master, care not that we perish? Do you not care that we perish? And oftentimes, that's how we approach God in our trial, in our situation, in our storm. We approach Him faithless. Now, I look at their words being more of a criticism than a call for help. And again, how easy is it for us to complain and criticize God for not coming to our aid in the way that we think He ought to come to our aid? And oftentimes, our aid that we're looking for Him is, get it out of my way. Get me out of the situation. But you know what the Lord says? Is that We ought to trust Him. We ought to trust Him in His answer. In fact, Philippians 4 and 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Their faith in God was not strong enough to sustain them and carry them through the storm. But I will have to say this. Before I fell them under the ship, I have to say I'm no different. And if you're honest, you're no different than what they were dealing with. We all know what it means to be, you know, to be afraid. We all know what it means to be at our wits' end. We all know what it means to be lacking in our faith. You know why we're lacking in our faith? It's because we can't see tomorrow. We can't see the outcome. We can't see what the Lord is wanting to direct our lives such that we learn something. So we become stronger. We become more dependent. We become more like Him. And so as a result, and if we don't learn these foundational things to be strong in Him, then every time the next storm comes up, we're going to be right back in our same situation. We'll have not learned anything. And you know what we'll be saying to Him again? Lord, carest Thou not that we perish. That's exactly what we'll say. So we've looked at the storm, we've looked at the sailors, but let's look at the Savior for just a minute. Let's look at the Savior. Look at verse 39 of our text. And He arose, and it says, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. There was a great calm. Now, the words peace be still, if you go back and you study those words in the Greek, they literally mean to be muzzled. Now, you all know what the word muzzle means. If you have a dog that's known for biting, is that you put a muzzle on it. So why? So he can't bite. Peace be still. Those words actually mean to be muzzled. So when he said that, the use of this word, he muzzled the storm. He muzzled the fury. He muzzled the violence of the storm. And that's what we find here that's coming from what he gets up and what he says, peace be still. The Lord had Jesus. Though he was 100% man, he's still 100% God. He had the power to control the sea, its storms, to control nature itself, and he demonstrated that one, he is the Son of God. He is the Christ. And that Christ is the only one who can calm any storm in our life. And Christ can strengthen us to go through any trial that we may have. We are going to have storms in our lives. We are going to be as these sailors at times. But the question is, how often do we turn to the Savior who can take us and be with us through those trials? Who can muzzle if need be? Who can muzzle the storms in our lives? 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, there is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, or if you will try it above that you are able. But will with the temptation or the trial also make a way to escape? Or if you will, to get through it, that you may be able to bear it. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble, by the comfort wherewith we also are comforted of God. Did you hear what that verse said? That one of the reasons that we need to quickly learn to turn to God and trust in Him so that we're going through our own trial is for this reason, that we learn from it, we learn from the situation, we see that God was with us, that Christ was with us all through the way for this purpose, so that we may be able to comfort others in their trials. That we may be able to comfort. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, again, verses 3 and 4, when it says again in verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now think about what that says. Think about the importance of that. You go through a storm in your life. It came up quickly. You dealt with it properly, with the way that God would have us to be. You weren't courageless. You weren't answerless. You weren't faithless. You turned to the one who could take you through it. Oftentimes, the onlookers of our lives, They're the ones that, you know, I made this statement, you probably heard it in other venues as well, but sometimes we are the only Bible that somebody may ever read. My question is, what Bible are they reading from your life? What Bible are they reading? Are they seeing one that's in chaos? Are they seeing one that's turned upside down? Are they seeing someone that is really, even though that we get into our own storms, and they're severe storms, do they see someone that has courage, that has faith, that has answers? I know where my strength comes from. It comes from the Lord. And then we're able to, they get into their own storm, and what are they going to do? They're going to turn to you for what? Comfort. Are you going to turn to them and say, you're on your own. That's your own ship. Lord didn't help much with my situation. We almost sank out here. I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to be a person that they can turn to and say, where did you find your strength? I found it in the Lord. Where did you find your answers? I found it in His Word. Where did you find your courage? The Spirit of God helped me all the way. You see, that's the kind of things that I want to be able to do. It's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing thing in our lives that we learn that when the Lord says He cares for us, we start to find those are not just words. Those are actions. Those are things that He does for us. He cares for us. You know, we may be disappointed from time to time when our faith does falter, but I'll tell you, it doesn't change the fact that He loves us and cares for us. Because I'll tell you, we're His children. He wants the best for us. He wants us to know that He's with us. In fact, Jesus says this and is recorded in John chapter 10, starting verse 13. The hireling fleeth, because he's a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of them. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's the kind of Savior that we have. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So we find is that, first of all, we learn that Jesus cares for us. He cares for us. He watches over us. He's very much endearing to us in our lives. We also find that He's in control of everything that happens in our lives. It doesn't mean that we're mind-numb robots. It means that He is just in control. He knows our situations. Now, I know at times it doesn't seem that way that he's in control. I mean, look at all the chaos that's going on around about us. But I'll tell you, He's still in control. His Word told us that in the latter days, things are going to get bad. He told us that. Does that mean He's not in control anymore? I mean, are we looking for a place where there's not going to be any evil? I'm looking for that place. But you know where it's going to be? In heaven. In heaven. In this world is in a mess because of why? Sin. This world is in a mess because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Sin has brought this kind of chaos into our lives. Sin has brought chaos and all the evil into this world that we're in. And the Word says that the world is going to get worse and worse and worse. And I will tell you, our storms are going to get worse as they come. If we just look at what's happening on the horizon today, I mean, look at you talk about wars and rumors of wars. Look at what's happening over in the Middle East. Look at what's happening in Korea. Look at what's happening in our world. Look at what's happening in our own shores. And the things are happening. Life has become meaningless anymore. And it's been a continual degradation of human life. You know, you go back into the 70s, and you find there is that when they had Roe v. Wade that came up, and he started making it okay to kill babies in the womb. When he started killing babies in the womb, then what ends up happening is that now we're in a situation today, well, we killed off the babies, well, what's the difference if I go out here and kill somebody? There is no respect for life anymore by many people in our society. You know why? That there's no respect is because they haven't been talked to and taught about the love of God. They haven't been taught that there's a better way. They haven't been taught about Jesus. And what you see is just evil manifesting itself right in your face. But let us not be courageless.
Let us not be answerless. Let us not be faithless. Let us not be out here blaming God and saying, Master, carest thou not we perish? How canst thou lie asleep? When all of this is going on, when we look back at the Savior, we look back at His Word, and He says, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong. It is important to understand that He's in control. You know, I will tell you, we like to quote Romans 8:28. It says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Let's read this, though, in what we really are saying. And we know that only good things work together, and good things are only going to come from God, and He'll never let us have any bad things because we know that He's working and we love Him, therefore He's given us good things. That's the way we really read that text. Right? Amen? That's the way we read it. Let's be honest. But the Word says, and we know that all things work together. He's in control. If He allows a storm to come into your life, let us not run thinking we're going to perish. Let us run to Him and say, how do we go forward in this storm? How can we be strong and of good courage when we're in the midst of a storm? When we have the wind is blowing, the waves are pounding, our ship is taking on water, it appears that we're going to be sinking. How can we be courageous like that? Well, again, Jesus asked the question here, look in verse 40. It says, and He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And it says, and they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Do we not believe that He's able to control the seas that are in our lives? The storms in our lives, the winds in our lives, do we not believe that He's able to, as I said, that peace be still actually means to muzzle it? To muzzle the wind, the fury, the waves? Do we not believe that He can do that? We, at times, get so consumed with the storm itself and nothing else. It's no wonder we're afraid. It's no wonder we're afraid. We have to learn how to redirect our attention away from the storm to the Savior. That's what we have to do. We have to learn how to move it away from there. In fact, go over to Matthew for just a moment. In Matthew chapter 14, I want to read a short passage here about another time there was a storm. Actually when Jesus came here on the sea. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, it says this, and straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, He was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So here is another opportunity that they're in a ship getting tossed around. And in the fourth watch of the night, which would have been between 3 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the morning, it says that Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come unto Thee on the water. And He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now that had to be a moment. But notice what happened. But when he saw the wind boisterous, what did he do? He took his eyes off of Jesus. And he looked at the boisterous sea, the winds. He was feeling that wind hitting him in the face. And he took his eyes off of Jesus to look. Look at what happened to him. He immediately began to sink and he cried saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him. And I will tell you, we need to learn to keep our eyes on Jesus, but there's going to be times we're going to sink and there's going to be times that we got to look and say, Lord, save me. And you know what He did? He'll do the same for you as He did for Peter. He'll reach down immediately and pull you up. Now, one of the things that you might not have seen in the Scripture that something just jumped out at me is that immediately Jesus, it says, stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, that's the question that was asked him. Why did you doubt? You had your eyes on me. You got on the water. You're walking to me. Why did you turn your eyes away? It says, and when they were coming to the ship. Now, I want to insert something here. When they were coming to the ship, notice that the sea had not calmed itself. Notice that the wind has not calmed itself. And as long as they're getting back, what I look at this is that as Jesus is walking with Peter, they're walking on the water again. Oftentimes we jump right to the fact is that they got back into the boat, but in order to get back, he pulled him up. We don't know how far Peter went out, but in order to get back, they had to walk on the water. So he walked out, he sank, Jesus pulled him up, Jesus is now right beside him, and I have to look as they're walking side by side on the water. My friends, when you get Jesus in your boat, and you trusted him, He's going to lift it up out of the water. He's going to lift it up and the water's going to run out. My point is that how many times do we fail to reach up and ask the Lord, save me? How many times do we look at Him in faith? We turn our eyes and we look at our situation instead of looking at Him. And it says, when they got it back into the boat, it says, then the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. You see, we find here is that we are all going to get in. We are all going to get into storms. And then there's going to be times that we're going to have our Peter moment. Yes, Lord, I trust in You. I'm going to get into the water with You. I'm going to walk with You on that water. Though it's something I've never done before, I'm going through this storm, I'm going to get on that water and I'm going to walk with You. Keep your eyes on Jesus, because otherwise you're going to sink. Have faith in Him. Have faith that He's going to walk with you, be right beside you. And then He can still the storm for you. So we've looked at the storm, the sailors, and the Savior. But I ask you this morning, are you going through a storm in your life right now? Are there things that you're dealing with? How are you faring in those things that you're going through? How are you faring? Are you looking to Him? Are you trusting Him? Are you focusing all your attention to Him? Or are you asking Him, Master, do You not care that I perish? Do You not care that I perish, that I seem to be sinking here? Why aren't You helping me to bail? 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you're in a storm in your life, or maybe you're going to leave here this morning, and the storm is going to come. How are you going to respond? How are you going to react? Are you going to have faith and courage and answers? I can find all my answers in the Word of God. I can find all my strength in Him. I place all my trust in Him that He's going to walk me through this. He's going to help me, even though I don't know the outcome. You see, when Peter started sinking, he thought he was going to drown. But the Lord got him up, got him back on top of the water. They got back to the boat, got in the boat. You see, that's the type of strength we need in the Lord. Well, my friends, you're never going to have that kind of strength and resolve unless you know the Lord personally, unless you've trusted in Him as your Savior. Only then. You know, your life may be falling around about you. Every time you start something, it just seems to crumble. Every time you go somewhere, and just things don't work out for you. People seem to turn against you. People seem to step away from you. People don't want to help you. And I will tell you, there's one person that will always help you, and His name is Jesus. You can always depend on Him. People will fail you. Family will fail you. The world will fail you, but God never will fail you. And when we learn to trust in Him, we start off trusting Him in salvation. We repent of our sin. We turn to Him. We ask Him to save us, and He saves us. And I will tell you that now that you're saved, you're a child of God. You will always be a child of God. He will say to you, be strong and of good courage. Keep your eyes on Me. In fact, He told Joshua, take My word, study it. Study it day in and day out. Meditate upon it day in and day out. He says, do not turn to the left or to the right from it. Stay the course. And I tell you, if we will do that, every storm that comes in our lives, He will take us through it. He will always be there. And if you start sinking, He'll pull you up. He'll carry you through. But it starts in a relationship with Him. It starts with Him with a relationship today. He says, know ye not that your life is just a vapor? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But trust in Him today. And He'll get you through the day. He'll get you to the next day. And if He calls you out, then you'll be with Him for all of eternity in heaven. You see, that's what we have to look forward to. That's where our hope is. I know that at the end of my day, however many days I have here on this earth, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be with Jesus. The one who saved me. The one who loved me. The one who died for me. Have you trusted in Him? If you haven't, why not do so today? If you're going through a storm and you've been bailing water and you can't seem to get your ship up, get your eyes back on Jesus. Because He will get you through your storm. Let us stand as our musicians come for Hymn of Invitation. Father in Heaven, as we come to the close of the study this morning, we just thank You so much for the courage that You give us in Your Word. We thank You so much for what You have taught us. The Lord, You've searched our hearts this morning. You know our needs. You know where we are in our individual storms. Lord, I pray that we have been challenged this morning to get our eyes back on You. Our resolve in You. But I do pray this morning for one who's never trusted in Your Son, Jesus, as Savior, that today is the day of salvation. For it is in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.